Do keep your Bibles open at that passage, page 1026, Luke chapter 1. And let me pray for us as we begin. Lord God, as always, as we approach Christmas and read these familiar readings, give us fresh eyes, open ears, to receive what you would say to us today. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking this morning at the Annunciation, the announcement from the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary that she is to give birth to the Messiah, God's Son. And it is one of the most familiar of the Christmas readings. We've heard it at countless carol services. We've seen it acted out at crib services and nativity plays. And as we think about it this morning, I want to read a poem. It's by a lady called Rosalind Brown. She's a vicar in Durham, which imagines this event, the Annunciation. What was it like for Mary? Did Gabriel come half hurtling in, wings waving, stirring the dust of Galilean tracks, glory trailing in his wake? Did he shine that luminous, incandescent aura that we ascribe to holiness? Or did he approach with reticent reserve, gingerly, softening the shock of the abrupt invasion of worldly space by heaven's word? Did he knock? Or just unfold before your startled eyes? Or was he loud, majestic, messenger of God, more used to fanfares in the heavenly court than twittering of birdsong in the Galilean hills? Or was he your first ally in the fear that gripped your heart, calling you by name, serene with words of calm and favor found with God? Well, might you wonder what kind of greeting this might be? Had anything prepared you for this day when glimpses of God's way of seeing were unlocked to you, simple Galilean girl and favored one of God, in Nazareth, whence nothing good can come, and suddenly your home becomes the place where heaven touches earth, and neither are the same again? Was it request or statement that you heard? And was there fear or faith within your heart when you said, "Let it be"? The rising tide of hope and co-creating energy welcomed and embraced, "Yes, let it be with me, according to your word." And did you laugh or cry or pray when you were left to wonder at the wonder of God's grace? I want to think this morning about Mary. We actually know very little about her. And that's because in many ways there is very little to know. Or at least there was very little to know when the angel Gabriel paid his visit to her. She would have been young. She was pledged to be married, but not actually married yet. She would have been between the age of 12 and 15. So not a very long CV by this stage of her life. Nothing is said of her parents, so she comes from no great family, no connections. She's engaged to be married to a carpenter. These are poor people from Nazareth in the north, where nothing good comes from. Mary is a nobody girl in a nowhere town. And yet she is chosen. She is highly favored by God. She is chosen to bear a son who will be great, who will be called the Son of the Most High, a king, from this girl. chosen this nobody girl to bear the Messiah. And there is, of course, lots that we could say this morning about that the plans and the purposes of God that we hear about in the angel's message to Mary. The promise of a king in the line of David who will reign forever over an eternal kingdom. The promise of a saviour, Jesus, which means the Lord saves, come to rescue his people, come to rescue the world. The promise of the Son of God through a virgin birth. The miracle of God taking on flesh, becoming one of us, fully human and yet fully God, and walking on this earth, being born among us. There's lots we will say over the coming weeks as we approach Christmas about God's wonderful purposes through the child soon to be born. But God's purposes are always worked out through people. That's the story of the Bible. God's purposes worked out through people. That's how God chooses to work, through people like you and me, people like Mary. And so I want to think this morning about Mary. We know so little about her. We really just catch a few glimpses of her in the Gospels. Outside of Luke chapter 1, she never speaks. And even in this chapter, she only gets a few lines. But I want us to see two things from the two things that she says in this passage this morning. Verse 34, how will this be since I am a virgin? And verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And two things. Mary had an open mind and an obedient heart. An open mind and an obedient heart. An open mind. Verse 34. After the angel Gabriel announces that Mary is to give birth to the promised Messiah, Mary has a question. How will this be since I am a virgin? She says. And this is the second time that Gabriel has had his announcements questioned in this chapter. If you were here last week, we looked at the angel Gabriel and Zechariah. You turn back one page to the beginning of Luke, and after the announcement that Zechariah and his wife will finally have a longed-for child, Zechariah asks the question, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well on in years. And Gabriel draws himself up, if you remember last week, to his full angelic height. And he says, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God in heaven, not in this tin pot temple on a rota like you, Zechariah. And I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you'll be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens because you did not believe my words. That is a proper dressing down. But when Mary asks her seemingly similar question, how will this be? She gets no such rebuke. It's as if the angel says, excellent question, Mary, and gives her an answer. Why the difference? Was Zechariah unlucky enough to get Gabriel on a particularly grumpy day? Do angels sometimes get out of the wrong side of bed? And in some ways, Zechariah's question is a reasonable one, whereas Mary's is unnecessary. Zechariah is simply pointing out to the angel that not only is he very old, but just in case the angel hasn't seen her, so is his wife. She is well on in years. I mean, she must be about 50. How can they have a child? That was a joke, by the way, sorry. How can they have a child? It's a reasonable question. But Mary's question is unnecessary. The angel has said that she's to have a son who will grow up to be the Messiah. And given that Mary is shortly to be married, the perfectly natural way to understand the angel's announcement is that Mary and her husband will conceive a child in the normal way. And he will grow up to fulfill these promises. She's to be married. They're likely to have a child. And there's a perfectly normal way for the angel's promises to come true. For Zechariah and his wife to have a baby will take a miracle. But for Mary to have a baby, no miracle is required at all. So why does the angel rebuke Zechariah and commend Mary? It is as if Mary, already at this stage, seems to sense that there is more to come. She is looking for, expecting a miracle, even though strictly no miracle is required. She realizes that what the angel has predicted points to a birth that must be different, that requires a child whose origins must be supernatural. Her mind is open. To use that terrible cliche, she is thinking outside of the box to what God can and will do in and through her. She is expecting more of God. And so her question is a request for some more information. How will this be? Whereas Zechariah, in contrast, his mind is closed. He can't see this happening. His question is a demand for proof before he goes any further. How can I be sure of this? He says. The questions we ask about God and faith can reveal a lot about our minds. It's good to question. We must not be naive or foolish as we seek to grow in faith, in understanding. But do our questions reveal closed or open minds? But when we question, are we putting God off? Demanding more and more proof so that we can keep him at bay and keep ourselves out of his plans. Is that our kind of questioning? Or are we opening our minds to what God might be saying, to how he might want to use us, to what miracles he might want to work in us and through us? Mary's mind was open. How will this be, since I am a virgin? In that ancient phrase, we see here faith seeking understanding. And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God. What have you closed your mind to when it comes to God and his purposes? What have you ruled out as impossible for God or impossible for you? Let the example of Mary, this young girl from Nazareth, challenge you. Her open mind. Secondly, her obedient heart. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Some of you know this verse in the memorable words of older versions. I am the Lord's handmaid. Let it be to me according to your word. And because this end, because this is such a simple, such a beautiful statement, in whatever version you read it, it's such a fitting phrase. It's easy to miss the weight of what Mary has just said and the cost of the call she has just accepted. She is going to become pregnant before being married in a culture where that was scandalous. She would be despised and rejected by many. She's going to have to explain this to her fiancé, Joseph. He's not going to like it. We know from Matthew's gospel that he was planning to divorce her, breaking off their engagement. And for the rest of her life, there will be rumours. Very few will believe her story. She will be considered naive at best, more likely immoral by most. And this is all certain. This is the way ahead of her from this point. And beyond that, she does not really know where God's call will take her. What will it mean to be the mother of the Messiah? Remember the words of Simeon later on in this chapter. Simeon in the temple, who takes Jesus in his arms, the baby Jesus, and he says to Mary, he says, a sword will pierce your own heart too. It speaks of the cost and of the pain of being the mother of Jesus. And all of this is to come. And Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. An obedient heart. What does it cost us to respond fully to the call of God in our lives? What do we need to be ready to accept? Well, many of the same things as Mary. We as Christians will be seen as naive and foolish. We may be ridiculed. Some of our views even seen as immoral, wildly out of step in this culture of ours. We must be willing to accept the unknown. Who knows exactly where God will lead when we say yes to him? Who knows what pain he will take us through? We must be ready to accept the seemingly impossible. What have you ruled out as impossible for you? What have you said, no, Lord, don't ask me to do that. It's impossible. For nothing, said Gabriel, is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. An open mind and an obedient heart. Just as we finish, I want to come back to that contrast between Zechariah and Mary. Zechariah is old, wise, experienced, upright. Mary is young, naive, a nobody from nowhere, and yet open and obedient. And God affirms and blesses and chooses her. What would you trust a 13-year-old girl with? Some of you have 13-year-old girls. What would you trust them with? Not a lot. God trusted this 13-year-old girl with his son. With this crucial point in salvation history. I mean, what if she'd made a mess of it? What if she'd been a neglectful mother? What if she'd not kept Jesus safe? What if she'd not played her part well in shaping his character as he grew up? What a risk. And yet God took that risk with this open, obedient young girl. Because God works out his purposes through people like you and me. And Mary is the supreme example of what happens when God is at work, when we allow him to be at work in us. When we open our minds, when we submit our lives to his Holy Spirit within us, to his power overshadowing us, God is formed within Mary. Things are done that would otherwise have been unthinkable when we open our minds and when we submit our lives to God and his purposes. Let's pray together. Lord God, we pray very simply, inspire and challenge us with the example of Mary. Give us, like her, open minds. Help us to discern what you are doing. Help us to hear what you are saying. Help us to see where you are leading. And give us, we pray, obedient hearts that we might say with her, we are your servants. May it be to us according to your will. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.